It was the year 386 AD, and a young man called Aurelius was sitting in a garden in Milan. He was thinking about his life, and he was not at all happy about it. In fact, he was very dissatisfied with himself. Now, as he sat there in the garden, Aurelius heard some children playing nearby. And one of them was shouting out repeatedly two Latin words, tolle legge, tolle legge, tolle legge. They were in the game, those were the words that the child was shouting out, which mean in English, pick it up and read it, pick it up and read it, pick it up and read it, again and again and again. And Aurelius glanced down and there was a Bible. So he picked it up and started to read it. And the very first words that he saw were words in Romans chapter 13 about turning away from all wrongdoing and putting on the Lord Jesus Christ. And as he read those words, the young man said that he felt his heart was flooded with light. And that was the moment of his Christian conversion. And it's one of the most famous conversions of all, the conversion of the man who became known as St. Augustine of Hippo, who was one of the great leaders of the Christian church. There are many, many wonderful stories of Christian conversion, some of them gradual, some of them more sudden. And perhaps the most famous conversion story of all is the one that we heard a few moments ago, the story of the conversion of Saul of Tarsus, who we now know as St. Paul. And we heard in our reading how this very zealous Jew, who was hating and persecuting the early Christians, was transformed through a dramatic meeting with Jesus Christ as he traveled on the road from Jerusalem to Damascus. The purpose of his journey was to go out and arrest more Christian believers. But before he got to Damascus, his life was turned around and in such a way that the enemy of Christians was now a Christian himself. And it's not surprising that many people found that very hard to believe. Now today, January the 25th, is St. Paul's Day. And many preachers today will be speaking about those events on the Damascus Road. But I'm not going to do that because I want to speak about the second person in the story who was given a vision by God. The first vision was given to St. Paul, as he was blinded by the light and heard the voice of the Lord speaking to him. But there was a second vision, and this came in a dream to a Christian called Ananias. And in the vision, God spoke to him, and the Lord said to Ananias, go to the house of Judas on Straight Street. Incidentally, you can still go to Straight Street in Damascus. And ask for a man from Tarsus named Saul, for he is praying. In a vision, he's seen a man named Ananias come and lay his hands on him to restore his sight. Not surprising that Ananias was somewhat reluctant to obey those words, because he knew of Saul's reputation as a hater and hunter down of Christian believers. But the Lord reassured Ananias, and then, as we heard, he went to the house of Judas, met with Saul, and welcomed him as a new Christian brother. And we heard how he prayed for Saul and laid hands on him so that his sight was restored. And then Saul was given a meal, and I think we can suppose that Ananias sat down to eat that meal with him. Which in all the circumstances, when you think about it, that was truly remarkable and was a truly loving welcome for Saul as a new member of the Christian church. I don't know about you, but one of my favorite television programs in the build-up to Christmas is the BBC Sports Personality of the Year. And if you know this program, you will know that every year there is an award to an unsung hero, to someone who's not famous at all, but who's made a vital and lasting contribution in helping other people. And you may know that last month the award was given to Jill Sidiver, who for more than 30 years has been a swimming coach for literally thousands of disabled people. Wonderful. Now, Ananias has been described as an unsung hero in the Christian church. Not many people know about him. Perhaps some of you are hearing his name or taking his name on board for the very first time this morning. But Ananias had a most important part in the events of Paul's conversion. And who knows what might have happened had Ananias not been there to welcome Paul in the way that he did. It was a quiet and very unspectacular bit of Christian love in action, but it was a vital link in the chain. And maybe that's one of the reasons why we're told about it in the Bible. Let's bring this right up to date and remind ourselves that every year, vast numbers of people are being converted to Jesus Christ. You can look up all the figures and the details by using Google or whatever on the internet. There are, of course, differing views about how the numbers are to be calculated, but there is no doubt that millions of people around the world are turning to Christ each year. Now, that may sound a little bit unreal when we look at what's happening with the Christian church in Europe. Sadly, we are the backwater of the world at this time. But in other parts of the world, the Christian church is growing quite astonishingly. One website was telling me a week or so back that within the next 20 years or so, China may well be the country with the greatest number of Christian believers, which means that in that great country, literally thousands and thousands of people are coming to faith in Christ every week, every month, every year. Now, for that to happen, there need to be many who will be sharing their faith with others. And those with a special gift for this are often called evangelists. But it's not only evangelists who are needed, it's also many people who will welcome and support and care for the new converts. In other words, many people like Ananias. It's true, isn't it, that newborn babies are especially vulnerable in the early days and weeks and months of their young lives. And so it is also with those who are newborn into the Christian faith and who then begin their new life in Christ. They're vulnerable to begin with. They need help and care and love and support. I said a moment ago that Western Europe is the backwater of the world at the present time, so far as new Christians are concerned. But it's heartening that in the United Kingdom, there are many growing churches. And I trust and pray that this church is going to be one of them in the days ahead. And I rejoice that we're already beginning to see some signs of this since Bridget's arrival. People will come to local churches, will they not? For many reasons. Some may come because they're already active Christians who've moved to the area and who are looking for a church to join. Others may be wanting to change church for one reason or another. Others may come because they're starting to think afresh about matters of faith, or they may turn up rather unsure exactly why they've come along. And then there are those who come because their Christian faith has come alive for them. In other words, they come as new Christians, and the fact that they want to join a local church is one of the signs of their Christian conversion. I think of Melvin, who'd never been to church before. He's a lifelong friend, 50 years and more. And many years ago, he went as a young man to a Billy Graham meeting at Earl's Court. And at the very first meeting he attended, he responded to the invitation to give himself to the Lord. Later that week, he was walking in the Old Kent Road, and there he met the girl, quite by sort of accident, chance, God incidents, who I think. He met the girl who later became his wife, and she told him that no less than 7 members of her family had recently come to faith. And Melvin joined them in going to a local church, and it was the welcome and support that he received when he got there that established him in his newfound faith, a faith that has proved to be lifelong and life-changing for him and for his family. It's said again and again, and countless stories back this up, that one of the key factors about whether a person will join a local church is whether it is welcoming or unwelcoming towards new people. Or to put this another way, whether the welcome is sensitive or insensitive. I make this point about sensitive or insensitive because I recognize that some people come to churches, they want to be anonymous, not particularly wanting to talk to anyone. They just prefer to come and go, and an over-effusive welcome can actually put them off. But others come, perhaps a bit nervous, wondering whether anyone's going to be there to welcome them, wondering whether anyone's going to talk with them, wondering whether anyone is going to be a kind of Ananias for them in whatever way is appropriate. Maybe the appropriate way is just a word of greeting and a smile in the service when we share the peace. Perhaps from time to time it will be a conversation over coffee, which may well be the beginning of many conversations that lead on to a growing fellowship and friendship with one another, mutually supporting and encouraging in the life of the local church. I find the example of Ananias very challenging. And although I've been a vicar of three different churches in my time, I still find it easier to talk with people who I already know. I can see some of you, there's two-way communication in the sermon, and I can see from your response that that's true of many here. It's not so easy to talk to new people unless we've got a really amazingly outgoing nature. But actually, when you think about it, it's just obvious that if those who are already in the church only talk with those other people who are already in the church, newcomers are bound to feel rather unwelcome. I'm very nearly there, but two quick final thoughts. And the first one is this, that it must have taken a huge amount of courage for Ananias to step out of his comfort zone, to go down the road to the house of Judas, to knock on the door, wondering whether, is this really the right house? Am I making an utter fool of myself? Knock on the door and to give Saul a welcome as a new Christian. And I reflect that Christian progress for people like you and me, it often means that we are going to have to step out of our comfort zone and do things and meet people in a way that we've not done before. That's Christian progress, stepping out of comfort zone into something new as God calls us. And then secondly and finally, Jesus Christ is someone who always has his arms wide open in welcome. Think of him in the Gospels. He was always welcoming people who came to him. He still welcomes all who come to him. And so when his church is truly being the church that he wants, then it's going to have in its membership many unsung heroes and heroines who are ready to follow the example of Ananias. And may this church be such a church, and more in the days ahead. Amen.